The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I want to know, are there any Christians listening to me who refuse to be a professional? I want passion. I want fire. I want anointing. I want love for God above all.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
I'm reading from Judges chapter 17. I'll begin reading with verse 6, Judges chapter 17. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's a dangerous time in a nation when everybody does what was right and we don't have a king named Jesus. And now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judea of the family of Judah. Notice it mentions his family. He was a Levite, which means he's in the lineage of priest, and he started staying there. And the man departed from the city of Bethlehem of Judea to stay wherever they could find a place. And then he came to the mountains of Ephraim and the house of Micah as he journeyed, or some translations say sojourned. It's an interesting word. And Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" She said to him, "I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judea. And I'm on my way somewhere else," is what he's saying, "to find a place to stay." Micah said to him, "Dwell with me. Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes and your substance, shelter, food." So the Levite went in. The Levite, notice the big word, was content. He was content to dwell with the man. And the young man became like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became the priest and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as a priest." You read the next chapter, and he set up an idol in his house, started worshiping it. He said, "It'll be all right. It'll be all right. I've got me a hired priest. It doesn't matter how I worship, who I worship, what I worship." And in that moment, this man had to make a decision. Was he going to basically sell out his faith that he knew was right to worship another God for contentment, for security, for 10 shekels of silver per year, a change of clothes? And in some Bibles, it says over that section, when the priest became a professional. And I'm preaching today on, I refuse to be a professional, because we're New Testament priests. You are and I am. You think the preacher's the only one that's a priest, but the Bible said in the book of Revelation, we're all kings and priests unto our God. And sooner or later, you're going to have to make the same decision that this young man had to make. Who are you going to serve and who are you going to love? And is your faith in God, are you a professional? Meaning, when I say professional, I don't mean that he was a cut above like a professional athlete. In that moment, he decided it would become a profession for him. Not a passion. It would become a job for him, not a joy. It would become a life, not the life. It would become something that was taught, but it would not be really, really treasured all week long. You'd come hear a little teaching and then go back and forget about it. Are you one of those Christians that's become a professional Christian? You do your duty. You become content. Where's the passion? Where's the longing? Where's the yearning? Where's that move of God that matters more than silver or gold? This casual Christianity, being a professional Christian. Come on, kids, get in the church. Hurry up, hurry up. And when we get over, let's get out of here. And then it's right back. Turn the radio on to blankety blank, boom, 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 blankety blank. What is wrong with us? We need a revival. We need young people to see the glory of God. We need the Holy Ghost to fall on the house until they are filled with the Spirit and so filled with the vision of God for their life that culture can't turn them around. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I want to know, are there any Christians listening to me who refuse to be a professional? I want passion. I want fire. I want anointing. I want love for God above all. He turns off the road. He says, I want my bucket list. I'm gonna party so much. I'm gonna sleep with every girl I want to sleep with. I'm going to drink till I'm drunk. I'm going to get high. I'm going to do it all. And then on Sunday, I'm going to light a little something another and walk in there and for an idol. And I'm going to just act real religious. I'll be a professional. I'm a career guy. And that's what we've reduced Christianity to. I'm not mad. I'm not mean. I'm a nice guy. Just telling you the truth today, because we're all headed into eternity here. It's kind of important that we not be deceived in the last days over 10 shekels of silver. The prodigal son, I wish I could tell you that, you know, if you go out and you start going in that other way, that you won't get the stuff you don't want. You'll get your bucket list probably. The prodigal son, look at him. He got the friends. The popular friends. You'll be popular. He got the friends, but he didn't keep the friends, did he? He got to go to exciting places, not that old boring Bethlehem Judea. I want some excitement. He got it. He got the friends, the popularity, but he didn't keep it. He got the places, but he didn't keep it. He got the money, but he didn't keep it. Because sin takes and takes and takes. You know, they did a study of super wealthy families that I read about not too long ago, and they said that usually wealth in a family doesn't last but 3 generations. Because what starts out as a passion then becomes, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. And then by the 3rd generation, it's dead, cold, and dead. Same is true in our walk with God. It's a passion when we first get started. And if we don't watch it, the children just kind of, I kind of like it. And then the next generation of grandchildren are like, I don't even want to go. I don't care nothing about that. That's why, do you understand what I'm preaching? Is that happening in your family? Is that happening in generation after generation? The Levite said, I just want to be normal. I remember my parents were pretty strict. And I remember thinking that thought. I thought about it in this message. You know, like I remember having those thoughts. I wish my parents weren't, you know, why can't they be like other parents? They buy the keg. Why can't I have normal parents? Why do my parents have to always push Jesus, 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 Jesus? Because they're saved. Let's be honest. Can you tell I'm tired of apologizing for the gospel? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I love this book. I love it. I love the do's. I love the don'ts. I love the thou shalt be blessed. And I love the thou shalt not touch. What is wrong with you, Pastor? I don't know. But I'm not a professional. Bless God, I still will shout at the drop of a hat, and I'll drop the hat. God has been too good to this boy. He has brought me too far to become a professional worshiper. Praise the Lord. I'm meditating in my heart. Give me 100 fanatics. Clap your hands and praise God. Give me 100 dads. Give me 100 moms who are thankful that they're from Bethlehem, Judah. Judah. That stuff gets in you. That stuff, you can't shake it off. You will never be normal. Sit down a minute. I'm almost done. You know what the Bible said about him? He was content. But you know what the Bible said about us? The Bible said in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, that Moses was no ordinary child. We want to be normal, but Moses was no ordinary child. If you've got the touch of God in your family, if you've got people, parents, grandparents, someone in your family who honors God, I hate to break the news to you, darling, but you will never fit in with the rest of the crowd like you want to. You are messed up. They get high and they see pink elephants. You get high and you see the four horses of the apocalypse. They get high and they see psychedelic colors. You get high and you start crying about, I wonder if the rapture's fixing to take place. Why are you thinking about that? You see Moses and Elijah, they see mushroom trips, and you try mushroom and you see the Old Testament, the New Testament, and Jesus riding on a white horse. All this stuff works. I want every parent to shout, it works. They can try to go a different route, but if you've ever got a seed in that child, God's going to bring them home. Woo! Somebody shout with me. This is part of it. It's not just the preaching, it's the shouting. Hey! It's going to be all right. It is well with my family. It is well with my children. It is well with my grandchildren. It's going to be all right. And he's got them in his hand. Oh, hallelujah. We are not to be normal and ordinary. You are a peculiar people. A little weird. Weird is back. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody not ashamed of the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues? Anybody not ashamed of the gifts of the Spirit? Anybody not ashamed of prophecy? Prophecy, prophecy. I'm tired of the witches and the demons and the false prophets getting all the attention. We need a move of the Holy Spirit in our lives again. Not professionals. I offer you more in Sunday morning religion today. If you're running from God, if you're more worried about getting out of the parking lot than you are your soul and your family, Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Jesus did not bleed and die and carry a cross to play church. Every now and then, we need to do a heart check. We need to say what David said, search me and try me. See if there's wickedness in me. I want to announce today that I refuse to be a professional Christian and professional preacher. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And all of our campuses, wherever you're watching me, in overflow, whoever you are. The presence of the Lord is in this place. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to turn to Him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This halfway stuff doesn't work. What are you going to sell out to Jesus for? 10 shekels a suit? And some contentment and normalcy. I'd rather fight devils and demons all the way to glory than have a peaceful, easy ride to hell. If you're lost, if you're backslidden, if you know you're in sin, if you need a change in your life, Pastor, I know I'm not right with God and I need to get right. Pray for me. If that's you, boldly lift your hand as high as you can get it under the sound of my voice at every campus. Do it high and lift it up and unashamed. Hands, 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 hands. Great, 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 great. Every one of you that have your hand, I like to do this. I like old-fashioned altar calls. Get out of your seat. Walk down the aisle. Don't do it in a corner. Don't do it just where you are. There's something that breaks off of people I've found when they get out and they humble. There's a big word. Humble yourself. Here they come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. You're weary. Sin will make you weary. Sin. Sin will make you want to just end it. Sin will show you darkness. Sin thrills and then it kills. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, they're coming, they're coming. Clap your hands, church. Clap your hands, church. Chains are breaking. Chains are breaking. Chains are breaking. Chains right now. Right now, they're going to sing it one more time. And you're sitting, standing there. And the Lord says, move. The water is troubled. Move. Get out of your seat and humble yourself. Walk down that aisle and watch God show you. Ye who are weary, you've tried it. It left you empty and broken. If you're watching me by television, you don't even know why you're watching, and you're a backslid preacher's kid, you used to sing in the choir, it's been years and years, I see you sitting in a chair. And you've strayed so far, and you can't believe how far you've gone, but God loves you. Jesus died for you. And this is your moment to come home. And I could count on one hand the times I've stopped a live service for somebody watching by television. But when I bowed my head, the Lord showed me a TV set and he showed me a person, a man, sitting in front of that TV set. And the Lord says, this is the day of salvation for you. Somebody in your family, they may not even be alive, but somebody in your family got a prayer through. And that's the only reason you're still alive. And it's time to come home. Dial the number that's on the screen. Somebody will be waiting to pray with you right now. Everybody in this room, everybody who's come forward, everybody under the sound of my voice, this is a moment of great destiny for your life. There's an angel that will write your name in the book of life if you pray this and mean it. And I know you do because you came forward. So let's pray together, everybody. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender. I've journeyed in the wrong direction. I'm so sorry. I need you. I want to put you in your rightful place. I receive forgiveness. I receive total cleansing. You said I will blot out your transgressions to remember them no more. Thank you for a brand new beginning. I'm free. I'm washed. I'm cleansed. In the name of Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Show me who you are and let me walk in truth. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say that. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, the first words in your new life ought to be, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not a professional.
Praise God. Oh, we love to hear from you. It's exciting when you call us and let us know what God has done for you. Call the number on the screen or go to our website and fill out the salvation form, and we'll send you a free salvation journey devotional to help you in your new relationship with Jesus Christ. Our whole team rejoices when we hear of those amazing salvations. If you've watched us for any length of time, you know that we are a ministry that stands solidly with the nation of Israel. We stand for the nation, but more importantly, the people, the Jewish people, both in Israel and here at home. On October the 7th last year, the Hamas terrorists revealed how evil they are, raping and killing innocent women and children by the hundreds. So when I ask our friends and our partners at the Jewish National Fund, what more could we do to help provide a roadmap of restoration and rebuilding in these devastated communities? And they came back with a comprehensive 3-year plan. And phase one of this initiative is all about safety. We cannot let what happened on October the 7th ever happen again. And that is why we're building civil defense centers. Listen to this. Over 800 safe houses. So that 800 families in a moment's time can run into their backyard in these completely secured safe house rooms and be safe and be armed, quite frankly, to defend their families. I mean, never has Israel needed to know that they have friends in America and especially in the Christian church. Together we can be light over darkness. Watch this and see how you can be involved.
On October 7, Israel was attacked by the dark forces of Hamas. It was the worst massacre the Jewish people experienced since the Holocaust. The Eshkol region in southern Israel was attacked directly. This is where Jensen Franklin Media Ministries, in partnership with the Jewish National Fund, have been working the last 5 years to build fortified schools, bomb shelters, and other life-saving projects. Thankfully, these projects did save many lives that day. And now we stand at a pivotal moment, poised to provide a lifeline for the people of Eshkol who continue to be attacked by terrorists every day. Jensen Franklin Media Ministries recently committed the largest amount of funding ever towards the initiative, From Darkness to Light, representing our unwavering dedication to not just help rebuild communities in Eshkol, but to mend hearts and restore what seemed irrevocably lost. We have a comprehensive plan that will be completed in three phases. Phase number one provides physical safety. That is why we are building civil defense centers and over 800 safe houses, making sure every family in the region has a safe room in case of terrorist attacks. When you give to a project like this, there is a promise for you found in Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, Israel. Together, we can demonstrate that faith combined with collective action can illuminate the darkest moments and forge a brighter, more hopeful future for the Eshkol community. Call or go online today.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.